Take your Bibles out this morning and please turn with me to the book of Matthew and chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at three verses this morning, verses 16 through 18 of the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. The invitation song after the lesson this morning will be number 326. To encourage any who may be in the audience who has never rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, or they have committed a public sin that they need to acknowledge and let it be known that they have repented of that and want the prayers of the church here, or if there is one in the audience who might desire to become a part of this congregation, those who are members of the church and they wish to become a part of this congregation. Anyway, the song of encouragement will be number 326. Do appreciate very much our visitors this morning. We do have several. We appreciate that very much. If you have any questions at all about anything that you hear taught or see practiced, feel free to ask me or one of the men of the congregation, one of the elders, and we'll be glad to sit down with you and do the best we can to give you a Bible answer for what we do or what we teach. And we'll open our Bibles with you and be glad to study. This morning, we're going to be looking at a subject that you don't hear talked about very much. The subject of fasting. How many sermons have you heard on the subject of fasting? I preached one here about 10 years ago. Maybe 11 now. But I haven't heard, I don't see a lot of material out there about it. But anyway, Jesus talked about it. In verses 16 through 18 of Matthew chapter 6, he discussed the subject of fasting. I want to, first of all, make this simple statement in regard to fasting. The purpose of fasting was to direct one's heart, one's thoughts, his mind, upon the things of God, that he may become focused upon what God wants him to do, who God wants him to be. It is the idea of truly focusing upon a task, whether it be a task that is physical in nature or a task that is mental. It's an act of preparation. It is an act of remorse and sorrow over sin and our focus in overcoming that temptation and overcoming that sin in our life. It is something that we do read a lot about in the Scriptures. We have studied already in the book of Matthew, in the fifth chapter beginning, about the character of the kingdom citizen, the influence of the kingdom citizen, the righteousness of the kingdom citizen, must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the dealings with others that kingdom citizens should be engaged in, how we should treat one another. And Jesus in chapter 6 is now striking at the heart of hypocrisy. Now, at the heart of hypocrisy are two things, pride and worldliness, pride and selfishness, arrogance, our ego, and the desire for the things of this life. And in this particular section, Jesus is discussing three areas of religious piety. First of all, benevolence, our charitable deeds. Secondly, prayer, which we talked about last Sunday, and fasting. Fasting. Benevolence is actions towards our fellow man. Prayer is our addresses to God and our concerns and our desires, our petitions and our praise, and fasting, that which is focused upon self, appealing to God and helping us overcome or persevere. Let's think about this. We've already talked about how Jesus has condemned all acts of hypocrisy in both regarding charitable deeds and prayer, and that motive is the thing that he's hitting at. The deeds, if they're not done with the right motive, they are ineffective. Well, beginning in verse 16, Jesus says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you,
when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Fasting. What is fasting? Well, both biblical and secular history tells us that fasting is a large part of history. Almost every major religion has some form of fasting, whether it be Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam. Of course, they have their ritual fast. And then, of course, Judaism, and even Christianity. And in denominationalism today, various groups have fast days. The Catholic Church, for example, they have various fast days. So it is a practice that has stamped its mark upon history. The Scriptures have much to say about fasting. And we're not going to have time this morning to look at every passage that deals with it. But certainly when you think about this particular subject, here in the United States of America, fasting and the subject of fasting and thinking about fasting is just a little out of place. It can be an emotional and volatile subject because there are those who both neglect the subject altogether or they abuse the subject. You can fall off of a log on either side. And there are those who fall off on the log on one side and that they completely ignore everything that the Bible has to say about fasting and fail to learn any lessons from that at all. And while on the other side, people try to bind fasting upon people, upon members of their churches or upon other people or even upon themselves. They bind it as some ritual that is to be practiced. So what does the Bible have to say about this? The term fast, first of all, let's define the term, very simple, to fast, to abstain from eating, is used of voluntary fasting and also for involuntary fasting. But Christ taught the need of purity and simplicity of motive. The answers of Christ to the questions of the disciples of John and of the Pharisees reveal His whole purpose and method. No doubt He and His followers observed such a fast as that on the Day of Atonement, but He imposed no frequent fast. In addition, what He taught was suitable to the change of character and purpose which He designed for His disciples. His claim to be the bridegroom, Matthew 9:15, and the reference there to the absence of fasting virtually involved a claim to be the Messiah. Now, in all of that, W.E. Vines makes a couple of points. First of all, it was a practice. It was a practice taught on by Jesus. It was a practice that Jesus Himself engaged in and His disciples at times. But although He is also approached in Matthew 9, by John's disciples, Pharisees' disciples, "Why do your disciples, Jesus, not fast?" And Jesus answered, "Because the bridegroom is with them." In other words, it was inappropriate for them to fast at that particular time. So again, fasting was not a strong, steadfast ritual that was set aside twice a week, like the Pharisees did, to be observed. Jesus strikes down that idea. It wasn't a ritual that was habitually or consistently performed. Fasting is normally referring to short periods of abstinence from food and drink, sometimes just food and they would drink water, or sometimes just meat and they would drink or eat bread and drink water. Usually one day in the Scripture, yet not to the extent in which the body would be harmed and or impair one's health. Rare occasions we see and read of absolute fast where were food of all kinds and drink of all kinds were abstained from. And we'll notice some of those in our study. There was only one appointed fast in the law of Moses, and that was to accompany the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16, verses 19 through 31, Leviticus 23, 26 through 32, and Numbers 29 and verse 7. There were other occasions when people fasted in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Notice, first of all, and we were talking a little bit about some of these things this morning in our Bible study, the burning of the temple, for example, in Jeremiah 52, verses 12 and 13, was a national day in which the Jews remembered they would fast to commemorate that event. The murder of Gedaliah, Jeremiah 41, records the murder of Gedaliah by Ishmael, and that was remembered by a fast. Zechariah 7, 5, 8, and 19. Beginning of the siege of Jerusalem in 2 Kings 25 and verse 1. And Jerusalem's fall in 2 Kings 25 verses 3 and 4. So there were certain days which the Jews had set aside to commemorate, and they did so with fasting. Fasting is an act which occurred when in need of God's protection, deliverance, comfort, forgiveness, or blessings. It was an act of the heart. It wasn't something or to be something, normally except for the Day of Atonement, that was continually to be observed as a ritual. It depended upon certain needs at the time, circumstances, such as in days of war or sickness, as with David, as he fasted because his son was dying. In 1 Samuel 31 and verse 13, regard to death, they fasted during the period of mourning, seeking God's forgiveness. We see those in the Old Testament do so. For example, in Jonah chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, those Gentile people from Nineveh fasted that God would forgive them and not bring the punishment upon them that Jonah had prophesied. Faced with danger, such as the case with Ezra 8, verse 21, or Esther when she was about to go in before the king, as she had been urged to do by Mordecai. So they proclaimed a 3-day fast in preparation for her going in before the king. In preparation for an important task in the New Testament, specifically, Acts 13 and verses 1 through 3 and 21 through 23. And we'll see that a little more in just a moment. There were various periods of fasting that one would engage in. One day from sunrise to sunset, or one night. And by the way, the term breakfast, you know where that term comes from? Yeah. Break fast. You fast during the night while you're sleeping, right? You do not eat. Break fast. One night, Daniel 6, 18. 3 days, day and night, Esther 4, 16. Again, Esther's preparation to go in before the king. 7 days in 1 Samuel 31, 13, or 1 Chronicles 10, 12, and 2 Samuel 12, 16 through 18. 40 days in regard to Moses and Jesus. Moses did so as well as Jesus as he was being tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke 4. Fasting was a deliberate act of expressing humility before God, sorrow for sin, devotion, dedication, self-control, and focusing upon what we're about to do, and our dependence upon God. Now, of course, not all of these things would apply, for example, to Jesus, because He did not sorrow for sin, did He? He focused on Himself overcoming temptation. But we need to see sin for what it is. And certainly Jesus did. Humility, sorrow, devotion and dedication, dependence upon God, these are the things expressed by the one who is fasting correctly according to Scripture. Arthur Pink says, it is not, fasting is not so much a duty in its own right as a means to dispose us for other duties. I believe that's the emphasis, the thing we need to remember about fasting. It was not a duty in and of its own self as much as it was an individual determining to focus upon the things that he needs to do, whether it be overcome temptation, seeking God's forgiveness, overcoming trials and temptations of life, difficulties and hardships, or focusing upon a duty that we're about to involve in. Jesus teaches in our text in verse 16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites when you fast. The Pharisees had developed the custom of fasting twice a week. For example, notice in Luke 18 and verse 12, the Pharisee who went up to the temple, who prayed thus with himself, Father, I'm glad I'm not like other men, especially like this tax collector over here. One of the things that he told God or informed God about his righteousness was, I fast twice a week. God, don't you notice that? How righteous I am because I fast twice a week. That was the custom, though, of many of the Pharisees. Do not, this is Jesus' point, do not be hypocritical and seek recognition from men, doing so with a sad countenance and disfigured faces, perhaps applying ashes and sackcloth, and they're wanting everybody to know what they're doing. Or they're wanting everyone to know what they want them to think they're doing, and they're really not doing it at all. They're hypocrites. But Jesus says, when you fast, don't be like this. When you fast, you need to realize that if you are not repenting of sin, if your heart is not true with God, it doesn't do you any good. The Scripture that was read earlier, Zechariah 7, we see that point made in verse 5, for example. Did you really fast for me? Now, there's a rhetorical question for you. No, it was not for them, or for God. Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets? Fasting without intention and without obedience to God is worthless. Verse 9 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. This is what God wants you to do. Their ritualistic fasting had no meaning to God. He didn't accept it. He did not accept them. They refused to repent. The spirit which seeks publicity, or the spirit of self-righteousness, again, as we pointed out in these other areas, Jesus condemns both in dealing with the subjects of charitable deeds, prayer, and fasting. The main point being, those who seek publicity and those who use their righteous acts as means of self-elevation are sinful at heart. They're wrong. Their motives are wrong. And thus they are condemned. And he points out in all three cases that they have no reward coming from God. Whatever reward they get from men is all they're going to get. You have your reward, Jesus said. So Jesus condemns the hypocrites, but now let's focus in on what Jesus teaches to His disciples. When you fast, Jesus says, but when you fast, in contrast to the hypocrites, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Notice again, Jesus doesn't say if you fast. He says the same thing in regard to charitable deeds. When you do your charitable deeds. In regard to prayer. When you pray. When it comes to fasting. When you fast. There will be times. And maybe you're here in the audience this morning and you say, well, I've never fasted. Well, you may not really have thought about it as fasting. Have you ever been so sad or so sorrowful or mourning over something that you haven't eaten like you should? Have you gone a day without eating because of the circumstance that you were in and you were praying to God and you were so focused on your needs or on someone else's needs? Upon some difficult, in the midst of some difficult situation, some storm in your life and you're praying, and you just haven't eaten. You know, fasting is more of a natural outgrowth of sorrow and pain. Many times in the Bible, that's what we're talking about when you discuss the subject of fasting. It is conjoined with prayer. We have become so focused upon the needs that we have or the sorrow that's in our heart or something that we are so busy for the Lord doing that we just have not eaten. The kingdom citizen is to fast without any outward appearance. Anointing your head and washing your face. I want you to remember this, what Jesus says here about anointing your head, a little later in our Sunday evening series in the book of James, when we get to James chapter 5, beginning there in verse 13. And we talk about the prayer of faith. I want you to remember this concept of anointing your head. What's he talking about? He's talking about cleaning up, personal hygiene, and wash your face. Get cleaned up. Don't go around looking like you're fasting. Now, I'll tell you, when people are in mourning, when they're in sorrow, they're going to appear to be disheveled. They're going to have some appearances of sorrow. It's not, and the point is not, that Jesus is saying, no one should know that you're going through hard times. That's not the point. It's not the idea. In fact, in James chapter 5, Jesus says, when you mourn, do what? Pray. And do what? Call for the elders of the church. Do that. That they may pray for you. So he's not saying don't let anybody know. He's talking again about motives. He's talking about doing something for the purpose of publicity, being gloried or honored by men. God will see your fasting and He will reward you openly. So, these are just some things that Jesus instructs His disciples. Now, let's broaden this out a little bit and emphasize Jesus, again, did not establish fasting as a planned or regular act of devotion. There's no record of that in the Scripture, in the New Testament. It was inappropriate, for example, again, for His disciples to fast while He was with them. It was inappropriate. It's like putting wine in old wineskins, Jesus said. It's just a matter of being inappropriate at certain times. For example, fasting being an expression of sorrow and deep concern and dependence upon God in times of trial or in times of need. It's inappropriate during times of peace and joy. I mean, there were also the feast days in Jerusalem. It was inappropriate for them to fast while they were supposed to be celebrating the deliverance of the people of God from Egyptian bondage. That was inappropriate to fast during that time. They were supposed to be feasting during that time. It was inappropriate. It's inappropriate to fast when you're happy. And when everything's going right and well. And now if you're focusing in on a task, okay, now you're getting serious about that. May I suggest to you, and I want this to stick, okay? I want it to stick. The purpose, to me, from what I can understand about this, the purpose seems to be that an individual becomes so serious about an act in regard to serving God that he puts all fleshly concerns, his food and everything, out of the way. He is focusing his mind. This person is serious about whatever it is that he's praying about. He's serious. My friend, how serious are we? How serious are we about the work of the Lord? How serious are we about sin that's in our life? How serious are we when it comes to seeking God and being pleasing to Him? I think that's the underlying thing involved with all these people who are fasting in accordance with God's will. They're truly serious about, they're so serious about what they're doing in pleasing and serving God, or overcoming some temptation so they can serve God, that eating is put completely aside. They're focused. Now, an application, I'd say to you, that's the important point we need to get. We need to be serious about our service to God. Paul Earnhardt says, again in his invitation to a spiritual revolution, what is evident as we wrestle with the Christian's relationship to fasting is that Jesus did not institute any fast days for the church, either public or private. There is also no indication that He ordained fasting as a matter of regular devotion. What He taught was that there will be times of deep concern when fasting will be a natural companion to our prayers. This seems to be exactly what was practiced in the church at Antioch by Paul and Barnabas in both Acts 13 and Acts 14. Brethren were serious about what it was they were doing. The early church fasted when preparing to send Paul and Barnabas out to preach the gospel in Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. They prayed and they fasted. Those two things are conjoined together. And it was regarding the work that they were doing, and Paul and Barnabas being prepared for this work, and they were beseeching God's protection, God's guidance as they were doing this. They were preparing their own minds for this task. They took it seriously, didn't they? Paul and Barnabas prayed and fasted when they ordained elders in every church, Acts 14 and verse 23. They took that seriously. Fasting was a mark of Paul's ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians the 6th chapter, turn there, notice with me what the Apostle Paul says. In fact, twice here in the book of 2 Corinthians, he mentions fasting in chapter 6, beginning there in verse 4. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown. And he goes on, verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Fasting was a mark of Paul's ministry, along with all of these other things. Paul fasted often, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. And now, if you'll notice in the midst of both of these, over in chapter 11, for example, there in verse 27, if you back up from the Jews five times, or back up to verse 23 actually, I speak as a fool, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, in the Jews, from the Jews five times I received 40 stripes, minus one, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You notice all of these, or these examples of Paul, all of these things are going on. These trials and these difficulties are taking place. Sorrowful events. This is something that is taking place in the life of Paul as he's dealing with these trials. Is it appropriate for a Christian to fast when he's going through a trial, through a difficult time? Paul taught that fasting may have a place in the life of others as well as Christians. For example, in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. Now, this is talking to a husband and a wife. He says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. Now, the only, understand this, the only time that a husband and wife are to mutually be separated from one another, it should be for a set time. For what purpose? Giving yourselves to fasting and prayers. Some work that is involving in serving the Lord. Fasting and praying. Not so that you can just go off and do your own thing, husbands, and have a great time and without consent from your wife, just go off and leave her for a month or 2 months or 3 months and do what you want to do. Focusing on serving God. And that is to be for a set time. And then come together again, lest you be tempted. So, fasting, of course, here it's implied that there may be a time in Christians' lives when fasting is to be done. Can we fast today? Yes. Jesus taught His disciples that fasting could be done. When you fast, He said. Yes, we have examples in the early church. They fasted when engaging in some important work or engaged in some trial. Paul fasted as a minister of Christ in dealing with his trials and difficulties, and when he and Barnabas appointed elders. They fasted. We have an approved apostolic example, don't we? When would it be appropriate for Christians to fast? During a time of war, certainly it would be appropriate. Not that we establish and say, okay, everybody, the elders got together and say, okay, we must fast this week, everybody. But during times of war, certainly it would be appropriate. And if they were to suggest it, I think they would have the right to do that. It's not something that can be imposed from without. It has to be something that comes forth from within. During sickness, seeking God's forgiveness, and by the way, you know, in regard to seeking God's protection and forgiveness and sickness and during a time of weakness and needing God in difficult situations, I believe all of these do apply over in James chapter 5, beginning there in verse 13, where you have them, the person that is suffering, calling for the elders of the church to come and pray for them. Now, what's the elder to do? To anoint them with oil. He's to help. Elders are to help refresh them and get them back up and back to work. That's what he's to do. Encourage them and give them the strength that they need so that they can get up and get back to work. In other words, fasting for a period may be okay, but fasting is not something that's to be continued. Fasting is something to get up out of and get to work. In preparation for a major task. After the fast is over, it's time to go to work. Get serious about things. Prepare yourself for those things and then do it. New Testament, again, when going through trials and suffering, people fasted. Dealing with temptations. Focusing the mind on serving the Lord. Beginning some major task. Or appointing elders. All of these scenarios still exist today. So fasting certainly can be done. Paul Earnhardt again, the natural activism of the Western mind has caused us to spend too little time in prayer and simple contemplation of God and His Word. Would you agree with that? Our labors would likely be far more fruitful if we spent more time in meditation and prayer. Would you agree with that? We need to take our Christian life, Christian living, seriously. We need to take serving the Lord seriously. Do we? Again, A.W. Pink, fasting is not to be undertaken for the mere sake of fasting. Private fasting must issue from an urge within, not because it is imposed without. Jesus teaches us that we are not to fast to be seen of men. He teaches us that it is not to be a regular ritual. It depends upon the circumstances. Only when the occasion calls for it, it is appropriate. With true repentance, true faith, and our motives right in desiring to serve and please the Lord. Fasting in the life of Christians in the New Testament, I believe, indicated that they understood or had a greater understanding than many Christians today do of sin, the blackness of it, the horrible nature of sin. They understood, I think, the power of the world and the need for us to overcome the temptations and urges of the flesh to violate God's Word. They took it seriously. How serious do we take it? How serious do we approach sin in our lives or in the lives of others? How serious do we look at sin? How about our trials and our difficulties and obstacles that exist between us and God, in our relationship to God or in our relationship to others? What is it that's in our way? What difficulties, what obstacles, and what trials are preventing us from being the people that we ought to be? How serious do we take those and overcoming them and persevering through the suffering and the difficulties that may come upon us? How about our duties and our responsibilities in the kingdom of God? How seriously do we take those? How seriously do we take our duties and our responsibilities? I think that is the main point when we think about the subject of fasting. We need to humble ourselves and wholly devote ourselves to God and His Word. God does not accept half-hearted service. We need to be completely, fully, totally committed to God, bringing ourselves completely under His control. Matthew 6 and verse 19, we'll be looking at verses 19 beginning and following in the next lesson. Commitment is the main point of that verse. We must be fully committed to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We are to bring every thought into captivity under Jesus Christ. We are to renew our minds, be fully committed to Him. Focus. We need to have our eyes single, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 22 and 23. We need to have our focus upon the things of God. And that focus, of course, is to be accompanied with our action, our obedience to God's will. It requires total dedication. Friend, you cannot serve two masters. Are we as dedicated, committed, and focused upon the things of God as we should be? You know, again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Let me get back. Matthew 16. He says in verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, what? Deny himself. Self-sacrifice. Serving the Lord. Giving ourselves wholly to Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You haven't given yourself to the Lord. You haven't denied yourself. You haven't taken up your cross to follow Jesus. You need to. You need to fully, completely give yourself to the Lord. If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, why not now? Why not this morning? If you're here this morning and there's sin in your life, get serious about it and repent of your sins and do whatever you need to do to overcome that sin. We'll be glad to pray with you and for you. Anything we can do to help you. If you're in need, won't you come this morning as together we stand and sing?